New Testament reading is from James 3, verses 1 through 12. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes. If anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we put bits in the mouths of horses that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. A restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Remind you again of the passage from Isaiah. Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord helps me. Let us stand together. Really, the most important events of the week were not Serena's loss, nor the coach at U of M, nor the two legislators in Lansing, nor the debut of Late Night, not even brouhaha antics of politicos. It was the many sober moments across the land as Americans once more remembered the cost of freedom. 9/11. 14 years later, 2,996 lives lost. 73 terrorist attacks have followed. I believe that the most important moment occurs when we remember and then forgive the touchstones of this faith we proclaim. That first plane hit the towers at 8:46. The names are etched on twin fountains, a marvelous scene. A flag drips today from the Pentagon wall, a service held in a field in Pennsylvania. Remember, the Revolutionary War commander's first order to his men began with a daily prayer, begging the help of the Almighty in the cause of liberty. Our revisionist historians omit that order. It reads, "The general hopes and states that every officer and man will endeavor so to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the right and liberties of his country." So these passing years, we have vacillated between our human reaction, revenge, versus our belief as Christians, forgiveness. How are Christians to respond to this evil and hatred that's enveloping our world? Torture, murder, lies, greed abounds. When we turn to Scripture, we can encounter the story of Joseph and his brothers. Recall his words, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." And Joseph believed that God had directed his path so that in the very face of famine or death, he would be able to provide for God's people. And it was so. Christians are people who forgive. That's the message. With Peter, we stand and ask Jesus, "Well, how often do we have to forgive, Jesus?" Generosity suggests 7 times. Jesus suggests to Peter, 70 times 7. No limitation. Really? Roger Fitz, in his study on divorce, found that no one liked the word forgiveness. One divorcee told him, "If you say I should forgive, I will get angry, feel guilt. I'm going to stop coming to church." Another said, "In the church I grew up in, every Sunday that minister's sermon ends with the very same message. Whatever the problem you have to face, it can be resolved by God's forgiveness." Aren't there some unforgivable things people do? The Holocaust, Twin Towers, the Pentagon, Field in Pennsylvania, war, civil unrest. One woman said, "People tell me I should forgive my husband for leaving me. I don't feel like forgiving. I feel enraged and furious. When you tell me to forgive, I think you haven't gone through what I've gone through." Preaching forgiveness is nonsense. We need to assert ourselves. We got plenty of that. Psychologist Simons tells us what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not endorsing. Forgiveness is not pardoning. And forgiveness is also not a form of martyrdom. No one can forget that Tuesday morning 14 years ago. The mood in America facing crises and issues to never forget, never forgive. But there is no collective forgiveness. Victims forgive. There is no collective repentance. Perpetrators repent. Leviticus in the Old Testament commands us, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. You should love your neighbor as yourself." While Paul tells the Romans, "Never avenge yourselves. Leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." Let me suggest some attitudes that would help us to discover God's will for our journey. Acceptance, relinquishment, freedom, and obedience. Presbyterians are only supposed to have 3 points in a sermon, there's four. Acceptance. Most of us are honestly hemmed in by circumstance. And we mostly find ourselves reacting to our lives instead of seeking God. We permit the negative to take over. But James says, "Hey, look in the mirror." Oh. Can we look and say, "I accept my health, age, status, looks, limitations"? Have we thanked God this morning for our lives? Or is that jingle in the back of their mind, "I deserve whatever"? Truth reminds us that our first obligation is to accept ourselves. Face those things that are tearing at us, those burdens or failures, and lay those things before God. Ask God for help, forgiveness, and forever be thankful for who we are. There's a story told of a Russian pilgrim, and he went about asking others, "How do I pray?" Well, a monk sat him down and said, "Use the Jesus prayer. You sit down all by yourself, in silence, breathe out gently. Century. Imagine yourself looking into your own heart. Carry your mind, your thoughts from your head to your heart. And then say, 'Lord Jesus, have mercy on me.'" And the pilgrim said, "It wasn't until I gave up saying the prayer with my lips and began saying my prayers with my heart that the love of Christ overwhelmed me." Our second attitude involves placing ourselves in God's hands. Wake this band up now. A rock group with astounding success, Beatles. They turned to drugs. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And when the drugs didn't work, they sought out psychedelic sounds of Strawberry Fields. Then an Eastern cult experience with some gurus, a Yellow Submarine. The Age of Innocence over, their corporate career ended with the painful journey of Abbey Road, where in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. For them, hopelessness. For Christians, relinquishment. "Come unto me, all you who are overburdened, and I will give you rest." But Charles Fair points out, a growing number of people are turning to mind control, biofeedback, encounter therapy, exorcism, occultism, Scientology, screen therapy, cults of all the marvelous. In short, a new nonsense. And his concern is that Americans without a faith fail to understand the hollowness of new nonsense. But we Christians are promised that each new day with God, we will be given sufficient strength to face life. And then there's freedom. You probably are familiar with Victoria Osteen. She's the wife of that famous preacher down there in Texas. And she got to preach. And she told the congregants to do good for your own self. When we obey God, we're not doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself because it's making God happy. Not. If we are free from the opinion of others, this world's criteria of success, the fear of failure, the fear of death, we can find that God has set us free to serve. For you cannot be angry when your heart is full of thanksgiving. You cannot be afraid when you're engrossed in helping others. With your mind and your heart, you discover this new life. You can listen for that still, small voice. But freedom requires obedience. Today we are told that commitment and chastity are out. What is that thing, Ashley Madison thing? Instant faith, instant peace, like McDonald's. They'll find that leads them down the same yellow submarine and Abbey Road and no love story. They'll end up with a Burning Man convention in the desert. In the midst of a culture which tells us don't get angry, get even, we need to hear anew Jesus' voice. Do not resist that one who is evil. When you are insulted, do not return the insult. Oh, wow. Absorb the insult. Gentle response endures bruised egos. Yeah, but Lord, who's going to look after number one? My iPhone. The best selfie in the world. Hey, look at me. No. That same one who looked after you before you were born, after you were born, the same one who created out of nothing says, go a second mile. Do I don't do Windows culture, Jesus, the greatest teacher, says, love your neighbor. Egos bruised, dignity offended, unwarranted demands placed on us. How do you live like that? You have to change your heart. The mind and the heart. New altogether. George Butler penned it, while Jesus stands at the door and knocks with mercy, revenge broods over injuries and magnifies them. And we become deaf to Jesus' knocking. Friends, revenge is not sweet. No life is open to God that nurses resentments. For at the end of the day, you and I forgive. Because as long as we refuse to forgive, we will receive no mercy ourselves. We have a need. God gave us a miracle. His love. So I declare to you, in the name of the greatest teacher, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. How often to forgive? As often as it takes. As often as it takes. Forgiveness is accomplished when we hear Jesus say to us, go, feed my sheep, overcome evil with good. And they say, see those Christians, how they love, how they live. Let it be so.